Thursday, May 7th. Time to talk rookies. We did a rookie Dynasty League style draft. 3 rounds, 10 teams, and we will reveal the results for you right now. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. What's going on, guys?
What's up, Adam?
Not much.
Hey, buddy.
Hi. Yeah, not much. Just, I think after a certain point, I just didn't care about the, I was like, yeah, whatever, crapshoot. Sure, why not? Jalen Strong. He's got as good a chance of anyone.
For the rookie draft?
Yeah.
It was interesting. I thought the first round was interesting. And we haven't done a podcast since the first round of the NFL draft. So
right.
There's a lot to catch up on.
Do the Browns know that you need wide receivers in the NFL? Or, you know, because that
you
was kind of.
Problem with Maley?
I mean, I think they just waited a little bit too long.
Yeah, they want to be a running team very badly.
We found out something very interesting during the rookie draft. I thought I was a University of Miami homer. It turns out Dave Richard is the biggest UM homer of all time.
I bleed orange and green, but I'm not going to say that I'm the biggest homer. I have a draft board for rookies, and it fell to me the way that it did. I didn't even reach for a single hurricane.
Yeah, okay. Not only
they
did
were
you,
right where they were.
Two of your three picks were hurricanes. Your third pick, you tried to pick a hurricane and didn't realize he was already selected. So you wanted all three of them.
To be fair, my emails didn't catch up in time before I made the pick, and I didn't know that he was taken.
Jamie.
Yes, sir.
Deflategate. Discuss.
Well, I mean, the only real impact that it has for us is if Tom Brady is going to be suspended, which it sounds like he's probably going to be at some point. Which is going to be bad. You know, you're taking away clearly a number one fantasy quarterback. You're impacting, a top five overall pick in Rob Gronkowski. You're impacting, maybe they start to run the ball a little more. Maybe these guys fumble more, with the balls being proper inflation that they should be. So I think it has a minimal impact with the fumble situation, but if Brady's going to miss some time, that's going to hurt that whole team.
Do you really think he's going to miss time?
They have to do something. I can't imagine that they're going to just levy a fine.
But if they do something to him, what are they going to do to all the other quarterbacks in the history of the NFL who have asked
been
for
caught.
Balls to have done? They have to know that they've been doing it this whole time.
They have to get caught.
Jim Miller on Sirius Radio has talked about how he's had specific things done to every single ball.
Has he got caught?
Right.
Yeah,
no,
but Dave.
But Aaron Rodgers, hold on. Aaron Rodgers has admitted that he likes the balls that he throws overinflated. There's other quarterbacks.
Do you think
that have
knowing Roger
about it,
Goodell and his tenure as a commissioner is going to let this go with just a slap on the wrist?
It could be a heavy fine.
He kind of did with Spygate. He sort of let that go with a slap on the wrist. But I think the
I wouldn't say that was a slap on the
wrist.
He
would.
He took away draft picks.
He destroyed the evidence, and he took away draft picks. And I think it was a pretty. I think most people at the time thought it was a pretty light penalty.
What about Bountygate? He suspended Sean Payton for the whole year.
No, that did not. That was not a slap on the wrist. I think the difference between what you were talking about, Dave, and the Patriots is a baseball metaphor or comparison. Michael Pineda. Like we know that pitchers put pine tar on the ball, but he got caught and he got suspended. I think 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't know personally. The more I've read, I haven't read the report, and I'm never going to. I don't think.
But you have to read the text.
It's like 600 million pages.
The ball boys?
I read the text messages. I still don't know that there's concrete enough evidence to suspend him. I don't know that it seems like.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I hope they don't, for obvious reasons.
All right. Well, we don't have too many news and notes to go through today. Dallas did sign offensive lineman Lael Collins. He was supposed to be a first round pick. And of course, there was the issue back in Louisiana. He's been cleared, and he is not the father. As they did a paternity test of the child who unfortunately died, it was a very sad situation. But Collins is now a Dallas Cowboy, and probably more depth for them, guys. At this point,
definitely,
mm-hmm. Yeah, not a starter, but could be in the future.
Oh no, he could be a starter at right tackle.
All right, they have Doug Free there.
They do.
Okay. All right. Well, he's in consideration, but it's a good player that they've added. So we did our rookie draft, and it's a 10-team draft. We did it on the air last year. We decided to do it differently this year. It was only three of us picking last year. This year, we recruited 10 people. Well, three of us and seven others. I guess I can't really say I recruited them. It was all Jamie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave and I didn't do anything in that regard, but we drafted. And, 10 people in the department, in the fantasy department at CBSSports.com, and we did three rounds. Snaked it. 30 picks, best rookies, and how did you frame it, Jamie, the way that we were drafting?
It's a rookie-only draft. It was as if you're drafting to add to a dynasty.
Right, to add to a dynasty league, so not necessarily just year one impact here.
Right, and it's not like we had a dynasty league and we were drafting. It was basically just drafting
best player EPA available
for three rounds.
And I had the first pick, and I took Todd Gurley.
Good pick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We don't need to spend too much time on Todd Gurley, but last year we got ripped for not taking the wide receivers. And it turned out to be the people who are ripping us turned out to be look pretty smart. But this year the running backs are a little bit different. Like Todd Gurley is a lot better than Bishop Sankey this time last year. So that was a no-brainer pick to me, even if he misses a month. And then we had the second pick, and it was Jameis Winston. It was Jameis Winston. Discuss.
Well, Ryan Bass, our new video host, decided that he wants to invest in a quarterback long term, and he was very adamant about taking Jameis Winston. I tried to talk him out of it multiple times, and he refused. He said Jameis is his guy, and he thinks that he's going to be a future fantasy superstar. So, look, this is how drafts go for everybody. If you believe in somebody, you take them. And for Ryan, he believes in Jameis Winston over Amari Cooper, over Kevin White, over Melvin Gordon, over Devontae Parker. I mean, there's, I probably wouldn't get down till maybe 8, probably closer to 10, where I would consider taking Jameis Winston in a dynasty league. But, if you believe in a guy, you take him.
So
I would say that's the lesson learned there. Everyone's going to look at the draft and they're going to say, oh my God, Jameis Winston, second overall. Well, that's a ruined draft. But Jamie made the point at the end that if you just stick to who you want. And as long as you make your board and you stick with who you like, don't think that you can go wrong, because you can't. And so in Ryan's eyes, he didn't go wrong. He took the best player available to him.
And Adam, obviously we're discussing this here. I'm going to have a whole breakdown of the draft so people can see it, 1 through 30, excuse me. And, my thoughts on where these guys should have gone.
Okay. And, we'll talk about it here, but, Winston goes 2, Melvin Gordon 3, Kevin White 4, Amari Cooper 5 to Jamie. Gordon, Kevin White, Amari Cooper. So it's Gurley, Winston, Gordon, White, Cooper. Do you guys likes, dislikes other than Winston?
Yeah, Winston wouldn't even be in my top 5 for sure. I think he's not even in my top 10. Gordon is number 2. I'm old habits die hard. I know last year Sankey was first. Everybody went crazy. I'm still taking running backs with huge upside ahead of anything else. And so I am. Gurley 1, Gordon 2. I've got Cooper ahead of White long term. I just think he's going to be the most solid and most consistent between him and Kevin White.
I think Heath went with White, and I understand why, because I agree with Dave. I think Cooper is probably going to end up being better because he's safer. But White's upside is much higher than Cooper's upside. Gordon to me would be 4th. I would actually go Gurley, Cooper, White, Gordon. Because I do think those two receivers have a little bit more longevity than Gordon does, with similar type of upside. And as we just discussed, Jameis, not there, but, I was planning on TJ Yeldon at 5 because I think he's the 5th best rookie and it's not close.
It's not close.
So I was expecting him to be my pick when we did the draft order.
Wait, so what would have been your top 5? If you had Yeldon at 5, you would have gone Gurley 1, then what?
Gurley, Cooper, White, Gordon, Yeldon.
Okay. And I heard you, so you take Cooper over Kevin White, but I thought you said Kevin White has much more upside.
If he can turn into the type of player potentially that he's capable of, but it's also factoring in, I think Derek Carr and Cooper are going to grow together, where I don't know if Jay Cutler is going to be the guy long term in Chicago, clearly. And there is still another young receiver there that is going to dominate targets in terms of Alshon Jeffrey. So I think White, player to player, his upside's better. Situation, though, factoring it in, Cooper's situation's a little better. It's close. I think both guys are certainly talented. But, if they had switched teams, if it was White in Oakland and Cooper in Chicago, I think White would be the better player.
Right.
Really?
Long term, yeah.
Oh man, you guys,
he's a freak.
You guys love the combine. You love the combine.
It's not, it has nothing to do with the combine.
Yeah, you know,
Adam.
109 catches, 1,400 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
Right? That's
come on, Justin Blackmon was that productive. I mean, system has a lot to do with that. I don't dislike Kevin White, but I don't think he has much more upside than Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper went before Kevin White for a reason.
Well, I just think three spots, and he should have gone. I mean, look. Amari Cooper's body of work in college is better. There's no denying that. What he's ready to do in the NFL right now is better. He's better for a younger quarterback. I just think upside-wise, Kevin White's got more upside. Whether he lives up to it or not remains to be seen. That's why I said I would take Cooper over White.
I just wanted to get into an argument. All right, number six. Tevin Coleman goes number six, then Devontae Parker. Coleman drafted in the third round by the Falcons. He's a running back. Devontae Parker, Dolphins receiver, round one pick. And then Dave goes with Duke Johnson, eighth overall. T.J. Yeldon, 9, and Marcus Mariota, 10. Tevin Coleman, Devontae Parker, Duke Johnson, T.J. Yeldon, and Marcus Mariota. Well, Jamie, you said that Yeldon is number 5 for you, and he fell to 9 here.
Yeah, it's a steal.
Dave, you took
Johnson. I took Duke over Yeldon. I don't like Yeldon's spot in Jacksonville. I think he's a good running back. I think it's going to take time for him to be in a position where he can dominate. I'm not expecting him to have a big first year. I think Duke Johnson's got more upside. I like him a lot. I think he can do it all. I don't think he's limited in any way other than size. And I think he's going to be a great pro running behind that offensive line and eventually being an every down back for the Browns. And when I say eventually, I mean the middle of this season.
Well, do you not like Isaiah Crowell?
I like Johnson better.
Man, I really don't know.
Long-term and in a seasonal draft, I'll take him over Crowell. Crowell might steal goal line touchdowns from him.
I think that should be a certainty.
It should be. I mean, Crowell has messed up a bunch.
Dave, you say that size is the only thing that, you know, whatever you said about Duke, that's his only issue. And I don't disagree. Obviously, you and I saw a lot of Duke Johnson. I think he's a tremendous player, but he got nicked up. How many times did he get nicked up? In his first two seasons, nicked up, he got injured. In his junior season.
He broke his ankle.
Yeah.
A year ago.
Yeah, in his junior season, he played every game, but it was just always like, oh, he's coming off the sideline, he's limping, he's hobbling. And he wasn't on the field for the last drive of the Florida State game, and I just don't think, I think he's like Andre Ellington. I don't think he can withstand it. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like of all the rookie running backs, I feel least confident in him being able to carry a large workload.
Remember Frank Gore and his injuries?
Bigger guy, though. Like, maybe not height-wise, but much bigger.
Had worse injuries than Duke had.
It's not the injuries. It's the size that will lead to future injuries. You know, it's not like he's damaged goods. It's that I think he'll just keep getting dinged up.
How much bigger is Gore than Duke? A couple inches?
It's really the girth, though. Don't you think he's like a bigger?
He is a bigger
Gore
back.
Gore had the ability to put on more weight. To me, Duke Johnson's a very good third down back for the Browns. I don't think he's going to maybe not in the future, but certainly not this year. He's going to be a featured guy. I don't really have a lot of faith in him outperforming Crowell behind that offensive line. The best thing that happened to him, though, is that offensive line. But going to a team that has two other young running backs, I mean, they invested a draft pick in Terrence West last year. I don't think he's going to be completely forgotten. And they got a steal in Isaiah Crowell, who, if he didn't have the issues he had in college, would have been probably a third or fourth round pick last year. So I just think that Duke Johnson's kind of a luxury pick for them in a spot that they really didn't need it. But they like him. He was their best player on the board, similar to like the Colts with what they did with Philip Dorsett. I don't agree with your assessment of Duke Johnson and where you took him. I think T.J. Yeldon's got a much, much higher ceiling this year and in the future. And I really like what Jacksonville's done this offseason. I think their offense is actually going to be pretty surprising.
What have they done? They added Julius Thomas.
They added two offensive linemen in free agency. They drafted one in the third round from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And they got a running back who, by all accounts, has the ability to play on three downs. At least that's the way they view it. And was pretty successful at Alabama. Looks much more like Eddie Lacy than Trent Richardson from his performance. Big back, decent hands, going to work at the goal line. No real threat by comparison like what Duke Johnson's facing. And so I think Yeldon's got a tremendous opportunity with an offensive coordinator. They both have guys that are going to, you know, be run focused, but Greg Olsen's history suggests, they're going to run the ball. They're going to try and protect Blake Bortles, which is why they made the switch away from Jed Fish. And I think you look at what Yeldon brings to the table, not only this year, but long term. If that offense clicks, franchise quarterback, difference maker at tight end, nice young receiving core. I think the one thing that they missed on this offseason was getting a veteran guy in there. I really would have liked the Greg Jennings signing, just to at least someone reliable that Blake Bortles can go to on a third down situation, that they're going to know where to go, how to win in space. Not a guy that's going to obviously turn his numbers on its head and make him that much better. And maybe Julius Thomas is that guy. But I just think that's the one thing that's lacking. Offensive line still needs work. I mean, you know, Jokel was a joke. Zach Beatles hasn't lived up to the signing. But I do like bringing in Wisniewski, who, you know, probably maybe would have done himself better going somewhere else, like Seattle, which is one of the places I believe he visited. But I do think what they've done collectively to put talent around Blake Bortles, I like it.
I'm worried. What do you, before I go, what's your take on Jacksonville's defense?
It's terrible.
Okay. That's been a problem for years. The offensive line has been a problem for years. And on top of all that, there's still, I think defenses are going to try and slow down Yeldon before they slow down Bortles. And I think teams are going to, I think Jacksonville's going to get behind.
But how
teams are going to get up on
focus
them.
On the Browns?
What's that?
Our team's going to focus on the Browns.
They have a better offensive line.
Oh, without a doubt.
And they have a better defense.
Without a doubt.
Much better.
Do you really?
It's still going to be take away the run.
Do you really care about that, though, in a dynasty league? I mean, do you really look at what defense is going to be focusing on in 2015 when you're looking, when you're drafting
sure.
for a dynasty
and you have,
league?
You have to assume that, that if the, Gus Bradley regime is there, this defense has started to make strides. Whether they get to the point where, you know, where he hopes they get to, that remains to be seen. But in terms of dynasty, Alex Mack is gone next year from the Browns. That offensive line is going to take a huge hit long term.
Yeah, Cameron Irving will have to step up if Alex Mack is, and if, Alex Mack is gone. Like, they should trade him.
Of course he's gone. You know, and so, you know, you're looking again, what's the value of a Duke Johnson still competing with Crowell next year for sure, Terrence West for sure. Maybe 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now, maybe right. their entire tenure.
And you got to give Jacksonville credit for having the better passing game than Cleveland, because everybody's got a better passing game than Cleveland.
Yeah, to me, Yeldon and Duke Johnson aren't even the same conversation. It's Yeldon and Tevin Coleman. And the reason I like Yeldon better than Coleman is I think the offensive line is better in Jacksonville. I think the competition that Coleman's going to get from Devontae Freeman is going to surprise some people, because I do think that Freeman took his opportunity seriously, based on all accounts that I've read and people that I've spoken to. And Coleman is kind of he's almost like a Chris Johnson. If there's not a home run play, you're gonna struggle to see him, you know, take the short yards to set up the long play. That's my concern with him. But he benefits this year from great schedule, great surface, because playing in Atlanta is going to be fantastic for him. And clearly good offense around him.
So, I love the coordinator, too.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's going to do a lot of great things for him. That's why Coleman, to me, is right behind Yeldon, and I go back and forth with those two. For this year, long-term, again, I'll still take Yeldon.
See, I thought Coleman, you compared him to Chris Johnson. I thought he was a bigger...
Not in terms of size, just in terms of their running style.
Okay.
Like, Coleman's a home run hitter. He's not necessarily, you know... 3 yards, okay with it. For, you know, that's my concern is, I mean, he obviously could do that, but my concern is, you know, is he going to start to get frustrated a la Chris Johnson later in his career when the speed let him down? Clearly early in his career, he should be, you know, certainly great on that surface.
Marcus Mariota, 10th overall. What do you guys think?
Way too early.
Didn't like it. You know, I like the fact that I think he took, Mariota and Aguilar.
Yes.
I like the second pick better. I like Devin Smith better, Dorsett better, Perryman better,
mm-hmm.
David Johnson better, David Cobb better. I mean, you know, Jay Ajayi, you know, even if you're talking about a short-term situation, all those guys should have gone ahead of Mariota.
I'll take Mariota ahead of Cobb and David Johnson and Ajayi. But that's really about it. He's 14th for me.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think he'll evolve. I just don't think it's going to happen right away.
If you're in this format, though, and you're picking 10th in a three-round rookie draft, obviously, if you want Marcus Mariota, you have to take him there.
Yep.
They're, you know,
same
right,
thing.
There's
like,
no guarantee
like
he'll make it back to you in round two.
But no, in round three. I mean, you have the 10-11 swing. You've got to take him with one of those picks.
What if it's a 12-team league, Adam?
Then you might be able to take him in the second round with the third pick.
Darn straight.
Dave. So, yeah, that's round one. Again, Todd Gurley, Jameis Winston, Melvin Gordon, Kevin White, Amari Cooper, Tevin Coleman, Devontae Parker, Duke Johnson, TJ Yeldon, Marcus Mariota. Nelson Aguilar, first pick of round two. Rashad Perryman, Baltimore wide receiver, is 12th overall. Philip Dorsett to Dave, 13th. He's a Colts first-round rookie. Amir Abdullah, 14th overall pick, round three pick for the Lions. Dorial Green-Beckham goes fifth. He's Tennessee's second-round wide receiver. Amir Abdullah, to me, I would have taken him over Duke Johnson.
Are you worried about him holding up?
Love Amir Abdullah.
Him
like
doing
if you're
going
to talk about Duke not holding up at the next level, then I think you've got to talk the same way about Abdullah.
I think they're very similar players. I just think, having watched both of them, I actually think Abdullah was a better player.
I agree.
He was fantastic, and I think the Lions are going to peg him for that Reggie Bush role. And I don't know if it's going to get to the point where he's 175 carries and 70 catches a season. I don't know if he's going to get that high. I'll buy into 70 catches right away. I think he can get there now. But Joik Bell, as long as he's healthy, it's going to limit his touches. I think he might luck out at getting 5 or 6 carries a game on top of 70 divided by 16, 4.5 catches a game. So maybe 10 touches a game for Abdullah right now with a ceiling of, 15 per game down the line.
I'll take the over. I think they're going to realize that he's better than Joik Bell.
Yeah,
I love this pick for Detroit. I really think that they hit a home run in getting a player of his caliber. Again, great surface, great offense around him. Added to their offensive line. You saw last year a little bit of a more balanced attack from them, especially toward the middle to the end of the season when Calvin Johnson got hurt. And now you factor in a healthy Calvin Johnson, healthy Golden Tate, maybe some improvement from Ebron. This offense could be really special, and this is what they were hoping for. Last year, Reggie Bush wasn't healthy. You go back to 2 years ago, you combine what Reggie Bush and Theo Riddick did together, which they really weren't they weren't playing at the same time, because when Reggie was hurt, that's when Theo had his opportunity. 126 fantasy points in a standard league. That would have been good.
8 total touchdowns.
Number
right?
20, I don't know, maybe, would have been good for the number 22 fantasy running back. Joik was around, I think, 16. In terms of fantasy points in a standard league. So there wasn't much separation to begin with from the backup guys to where Bell was. Now, granted, he wasn't fully healthy for the majority of the season. But this is now 2 off seasons in a row where he's had some mysterious injury, missing time in off-season workouts, and they're getting a younger back who can do some similar things, not as physical, so that could really hurt what Abdullah does maybe at the goal line. But this is still a guy who scored 19 touchdowns in a season in college. And has the ability, I think, to do it all. So I really love Abdullah. We did a mock draft for another publication. I took him as my – I did a combo of him and David Johnson out at Swing Picks. I love the opportunity for both those rookies, but Abdullah, to me, is going to be somebody that you're going to see in the preseason and training camp, and you're going to hear the reports coming out of Detroit. He's going to really start to creep up. I've already moved Joik Bell down in my rankings. I moved Abdullah up. I'm going to really have a hard time keeping him. To me, the rookie running backs, there's like a breaking point. It's Gordon,
right after
Gurley.
Coleman?
It's Gordon, Gurley, Yeldon, Coleman. And then, to me, Abdullah is easily the next guy. I'm going to have a hard time keeping him out of that top group because I really do think he has the opportunity to shine.
The way that offense is built is for a physical running back and a pass catching running back. And the only thing slowing me down is that they've always geared toward having that physical running back. And even if Joik Bell gets hurt, misses time, Theo Riddick's there.
Yeah, but he can't run the ball.
Well, he hasn't really had much of an opportunity to run the ball. He's had like 29 career carries. So if we're going to judge him on 29 career carries,
well,
then you're right.
It's kind of obvious how they feel by the fact that they went out and replaced him right away, especially with a third-round pick.
I think it's a second-round pick.
Abdul was a second-round or third-round?
Mm-hmm. Third-round. Third-round.
Was he? I thought he was second.
Third-round.
I'll double check, Dave. I'm pretty sure he was in the third round, but
I thought he was third round too.
I will check for you. What do you think of the wide receivers that were taken in the first 5 picks of the second round? Aguilar, Rashad Perryman, Dorsett, and Dorial Green-Beckham.
I think the only one that could be in the conversation there is Devin Smith, and I think the knock on him is clearly the fact that he went to the Jets. But
he wasn't
you're
even
talking about
taken
Jets
there.
Offense. That's gonna by the time Smith is in his third year, Brandon Marshall will be gone.
Jamie,
you have to hope that their quarterback situation is figured out by then.
Jamie, he wasn't taken until the third round of this draft.
Right. That was insane. You're looking at a guy that I think put him on any of these other teams. Put him in Baltimore. Put him in forget about Indianapolis because they were stupid. put him in Tennessee. Put him, you know, the Dolphins.
Put him in Tennessee.
Any of those teams where there
was been great.
A need for a receiver. Cleveland, for example. Not that they had a shot at him, but or I guess they did, but not that they took him. Any situation where he could have, you know, played right away and not have the, you know, the stereotype of bad offense, because that's what the Jets have been because of, you know, their quarterbacks.
What is this? I don't understand this. Where is this coming from? Why do you love him so much? He had 33 catches last year. You know what
it's
he is?
It's what he can
do. He runs straight down the field. He's a deep vertical threat.
He's an unbelievable deep ball specialist.
That's
what he
is. He might
have been the best deep ball receiver in the draft.
Who wants that?
Who wants that? I don't know.
Baltimore
a team that
did.
Wants to put the ball in the air.
Who wants
Baltimore
that in fantasy? That limits his upside, in my opinion. That makes him
it
Kenny
does because
Stills.
He's not a do-it-all kind of guy, but he can learn that.
Adam, I think we're talking about the group of receivers that were in discussion. He's not in the White Cooper group.
No, but he's you would take him over Aguilar, Perryman, Dorsett?
No.
Oh,
no,
all right.
No, not
well,
over.
Then I got confused there.
I'm sorry. No. I think he should be in the conversation.
Okay. Well, let's talk about those.
I would have no problem taking Devin Smith over Doyle Greenback.
Yeah, well, I read something on NFL.com.
I would too. I'm just saying, I wouldn't like, oh my gosh, you took Devin Smith over. I wouldn't go crazy over it.
He'd be the next receiver I would take.
Yep.
After Green Beckham.
Yep.
Sorry, I read something today on NFL.com about Doriel Green Beckham, an AFC offensive coordinator, saying they brought him in and he didn't really know. I think they said like he didn't really know what he was doing. Like, you're going to have a lot of patience with Doriel Green Beckham. All he is right now is a physical specimen.
I agree, which is troubling. I really feel like this is just it's obviously a throwaway year for Tennessee, but they're gonna have to figure some things out. They're playing
year?
For 2016. Because what are they gonna do this year? Greenback, they're basically teaching a whole new offense to a quarterback who's been in a completely different system. They've got
starter.
A receiver who hasn't played. If he's a starter, they draft him with a number two pick. He's gonna be their starter. He's
Did
gonna
Blake
have to
Bortles
go
start,
in.
Did Blake Bortles start the season last year as a number three overpick?
Two and a half games in. Okay, that's fine. Fair point made. But maybe they learn from that and they just put Mariota in under center. They play the kid right away. Green Beckham hasn't played football in a year, so he's going to have to adjust. It's going to be a tough year in Tennessee.
You're saying he didn't play street ball or pickup football?
He might have played some Nerf ball.
Tech bubble? Does that count as playing football?
If it is, then I've got years of experience.
Here was the quote I read, by the way, just so I don't misquote anything, from another AFC coordinator. We had him in for a visit and put him on the board, and he was completely lost. Whoever takes him better have a plan for him because it could be rough early on. And that's on Doyle Green Beckham. Last question here before we move on. Aguilar, Perryman, Dorsett, Green Beckham, who's your favorite?
Perryman, for me.
I think dynasty-wise...
You're asking dynasty work. It doesn't matter how you're asking.
Aguilar, dynasty-wise.
Really?
Yep.
Over Perryman long-term?
Yeah, I think Perryman is Torrey Smith. I don't think he's better than that.
I love Aguilar too, but I liked Aguilar better before the draft. I like where Perryman landed, and I think Perryman has a shot. He's got the potential to be their number one receiver for a long time. Not saying he's going to be, just saying long term
potential.
I think
sure,
he can be there.
I mean,
and Aguilar, maybe he becomes their number one guy. I have a hard time seeing that.
If you were to tell me right now that the Colts move on from T.Y. Hilton, Andre Johnson, and they're going next year with a combo
Dorsett,
of Dorsett, Moncrief,
Carter,
and Carter,
those, yeah.
Then Dorsett is by far the best. But I don't know how they can look at T.Y. Hilton and say, okay, we're done with you.
Right.
And T.Y. Hilton came out and said he's not happy with the pick, which I don't blame him. So Dorsett is the kind of the yo-yo because he can go from – maybe the best receiver. I mean, Dave talked about this. You know, if he was taller, he'd be, you know, in the conversation as one of
he'd
the best players.
He'd be better than Cooper and White.
But he's really has so much to overcome, but he is in potentially the best situation.
He'd
but
be
there's
better.
A lot of ifs that are standing
he'd be
in the way.
That's
better
why he's a
than
top 10
Cooper
guy
and
for me
White?
In
he'd be better than Cooper and White?
He would
I don't
be,
agree with that.
If
he had like 36
two.
Catches last year.
If he's 6 foot, what do you mean?
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
He barely caught any passes.
He'd be better than both.
I don't think he had more than four catches in any game. Maybe once.
He was 6'2" and 215 pounds. He'd be better than both.
But let me tell you something. If he was 6'2" and 215 pounds.
The white, the orange and green off your glasses.
If he were 6'2", 215, he wouldn't run a 4.340. So it's like, you know, you take.
I loved watching him play.
I love that you're standing behind your guys in Dorsett and
Duke
Johnson.
It's not because they're Canes, because I'm very bullish on other guys in this draft.
You're not as bullish as you are on those two guys.
Well, no. The fact the that differences even, that we have are with those two guys. I see extremely talented players.
He's right. They are.
Who can't? I mean, right. They're extremely talented. Dorsett, like I said, if he had gone anywhere else, it would be a great situation.
Oh, that's why in a seasonal league, I'm not taking him unless it's
I mean, you're talking about, I mean, obviously you're playing a huge hypothetical. If he was taller, that he'd be better than those guys.
Right.
That's a
but
huge
But as it stands,
stretch.
He's in my top 10 in Dynasty. I know he's not in Jamie's. That's okay. Some people like chocolate. Some people like vanilla.
Look, Dave, I feel like a Seminoles fan today.
No, you're realistic.
It's weird. No, look, those two guys are great players. They're great players. David Johnson, 16th overall, Arizona running back. Very interesting situation there. Jamie took him, David Johnson. Then David Cobb, Tennessee's fifth round pick. Devin Funchess.
Who I like as well.
Who?
And he didn't go to Miami.
Funchess or Cobb?
Cobb.
Okay, Devin Funchess, Carolina. So we're calling him a wide receiver, right? Not a tight end, just to clarify.
The Panthers are calling him.
Okay. Jay Ajayi, sixth round pick for the Dolphins. When we talked to Dane Brugler, he's a running back out of Boise State. Ajayi's got serious knee issues. That's why he fell so late. And I took Max Williams at the end of round two, 20th overall. That's a tight end for Baltimore. David Johnson, David Cobb, Devin Funchess, Jay Ajayi, Max Williams. What do you guys think?
I'm very excited about David Johnson. I think Ellington, you know, you illustrated this a little earlier, Adam, talking about his comparison to Duke Johnson. He has a hard time staying healthy. And, you know, we're in May now, and he's still not over the hernia surgery from a year ago. Had the foot problem all of last year. He's not going to work at the goal line. You know, they're still talking about him being used in his same role. But Bruce Arians, to me, is like... I don't know if there's anybody he dislikes, because he loves everything about everybody that you ask him in regard to his players. And so I don't know if I could fully believe everything he's saying in regard to how much they like Andre Ellington. I think Ellington, Dave said it before, Ellington I think is still the starter there. You're doing your Periscope thing. He's still the starter there, but I don't necessarily view him the same way as I did a year ago, where he had the opportunity to blow away the competition. David Johnson can catch the ball for a guy that's his size. You know, he's I believe he's over 6 foot.
He's the best pass catching running back in the draft.
Yeah, he had over 30 catches a year at Northern Iowa. Take that for what it's worth, where he played. He's not exactly a physical guy for somebody of his size, but he is somebody that I think is more physical than Andre Ellington, who averaged 3.3 yards per carry. They did a great job with their offensive line this offseason to get the kid from Florida and Humphreys, to sign Mike Boddy. You know, so this is going to be a team that's going to be, I think, a little bit more run-dependent to take some pressure off of Carson Palmer coming off a torn ACL. So I love this offense. I love everything about the Cardinals. There's not a Cardinals player I wouldn't want to draft of their main skill position guys in their respective spots. I will pass on Andre Ellington this year. Let somebody else take him. I will take David Johnson in that round six, round seven range. Ooh. And I'll take my chances with him over Ellington, who I don't think is going to be able to last for 16 games.
That's the big question. Is Ellington going to last for 16 games? Here's the best way to view David Johnson. He is in the, his floor is the Stephon Taylor role. Remember how Stephon Taylor was like the goal line guy and
but Stephon Taylor
kind of part-time back? It's true. So he's going to be able to take some of that work away from Ellington on top of it all. He's just not a fast guy. I think he is physical enough, certainly for his size, and the hands are really what probably sold the Cardinals on him. But he's going to be their goal line guy and a guy who gets maybe around 10 touches per game, and it leaves Ellington with the rest.
You know what I kind of view this as? St. Louis, where they got Zach Stacy, which is where fifth round pick,
mm-hmm.
2 years ago.
Yep.
And then they took a third round pick on Trey Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Ellington was a seventh round flyer for them.
Sixth, I think.
Sixth or seventh round flyer for them out of Clemson because he had some issues. And they invested a higher pick in getting David Johnson. So don't be surprised if he's the best running back there by the end of the season.
Oh, Dave, by the way, kudos to you. Amir Abdullah was a second round pick. Good job.
There we go.
Devin Funchess. What do you think?
I was more excited.
Too soon.
Draft day. Than I am now.
That movie Draft Day has been on like all the time.
Have you watched it?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
I thought it was the most realistic NFL draft movie ever. Because it happens all the time where a GM acquires one first-round pick and then trades it for three first-round picks.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
how much glue were they sniffing when they wrote that? To trade
three first-round picks, then trade three second-round picks over the same amount
I got lost in all the trading. Norm, you know me, I love to trade, but even I got lost.
Yeah, I actually didn't think it was that bad. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
It depends what your expectations are. If you know anything about the NFL, you're going to hate it.
Yeah, it's not, it's like, I wasn't even treating it like, oh, this is going to be a cool NFL draft movie. I thought it was going to be one of the worst movies of all time, and it really wasn't. It was like one of the 10 worst.
It exceeded your incredibly low expectations.
Exactly.
Die Hard 3 or that?
Die Hard 3 or that? Die Hard 3 is the best. If you're asking me Die Hard 2 or that, that would be...
No, I'm asking you Die Hard 3 because I know you think Die Hard 3 is the best. So I want to know where it stacks up because Die Hard 3 is in everybody's estimation.
Because we know you love Die Hard 3, Ghostbusters 2,
Wait a second. Even if you don't think Die Hard 3 is the best Die Hard, I don't know anyone who doesn't really like that movie. It's still a really damn good movie.
It pales in comparison to both of the first two Die Hards. And you know it.
Both of the first two?
That's right. Now listen, the second one was wacky as well.
Oh, dude, right. The second one is awful. You're just doing this to get... You know what? I'm not even... Well done. Okay. Max Williams, first tight end off the board, 20th overall to me.
Are we just not talking about Devin Funchess?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, sure. Devin Funchess.
He's the Die Hard 3 of rookie wide receivers.
Devin Funchess goes to the park and, he has a 3-gallon jug and a 5-gallon jug and he has to fill it with 4 gallons. How does he do it? I know the answer, but what do you think of him in fantasy?
I think he's going to be one of those guys that's better for his team than he is for fantasy owners. Because I think he'll help Cam. I don't know how much he'll help fantasy owners, at least this season. He's got a big catch radius. You know, the Panthers are doing a good job of
catch radius
of realizing what Cam is, which is a
Cam could put a ball in a large garbage can, and so they're getting receivers who can catch with that kind of big size.
All right, let's talk about Max Williams now.
What about him?
Well,
he has two X's in his name.
He does. What do you?
Kind of cool.
What do you think about his prospects?
You know, you hear a lot of Kyle Rudolph comparisons, which, you know, depending on how much you like Kyle Rudolph and what Kyle Rudolph could have become or maybe could still eventually become, but he's a big target. You know, it's a quarterback that likes to throw to his tight end. Very clear that they're not counting on Dennis Pitta to return. I don't know if he's going to make an impact for fantasy this year, but long term, he's going to be probably in that conversation of top 15 tight ends if he materializes.
To round three of this 10-team rookie draft. Jalen Strong, Houston wide receiver. Justin Hardy, Atlanta wide receiver. Cameron Artis Payne, Carolina running back. Devin Smith, Jets wide receiver. And Jamie, will you stop with the Hurricanes love? Clive Walford, tight end Oakland. Fifth overall.
Took him right under my nose. I almost had three Hurricanes in this draft.
You and the Raiders ended up with the same amount of Hurricanes in the draft, Dave.
I guess so.
I ended up with the same amount of Raiders in this dynasty draft.
You have two Raiders?
Two.
You have Cooper and Walford.
All right, Strong, Hardy, Cameron Artis Payne, Devin Smith, Clive Walford. We've talked about Devin Smith. Of the other four guys, could any of them be real steals?
Artis Payne's interesting because Carolina did nothing to address their backfield after releasing D'Angelo Williams. And we know John the Stewart's not the picture of health. So this is a guy you want to put on your sleeper list if you're talking about just late round flyers, somebody that may be the first guy you cut if Stewart, you know, gets through the first 5 or 6 games without having a problem. But they talked about this offseason keeping Stewart around 15 carries a game. And if that's the case, they're going to give it to somebody else.
Is it going to be Fozzie Whitaker or is it going
to
be...
It's hard to say.
CAP.
This is another Tony Bellani guy. So this is somebody I think you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and as for Walford, we saw Oakland lean on the tight end with Michael Rivera last year. Rivera ran hot and cold. I would imagine Walford will do the same in Oakland. But he should get a good opportunity to play. Purely a pass-catching tight end. You know, not a guy who can block like Max Williams can. So that could actually work in Walford's favor. We'll see what ends up happening.
For what it's worth, Pete Prisco said, don't be surprised if he's a 65-catch guy this year. Now that's... to me ludicrous.
I would be surprised if he was. How about 50 catches? Would that surprise you?
Yeah.
I would say
if he gets to 40, you're in good shape.
Right. He's not a guy that I'm drafting in a standard league, and in a dynasty league, you're taking him with a third round pick as a wait and see type deal.
And final five picks, 26 through 30. Buck Allen.
I do like your pick of Jalen Strong, too. I think
Strong was a good pick, good value.
Another guy that in the Devin Smith conversation of somebody who can be much better than people are going to look at him. DeAndre Hopkins, to me, is potentially a top 10 receiver in the NFL this year. And he's going to draw a lot of attention. And so that's going to open things up for Strong if he can keep Cecil Schwartz off the field, which shouldn't be difficult.
Okay, so we got Buck Allen, Baltimore running back, round four pick. Bryce Petty of the Jets, quarterback for the Jets. Jeremy Lang, that one I scratched my head, I didn't get that one. Jeremy
Which
Langford,
one?
Bryce Petty.
Why? Wait, the Jets drafting him?
No,
or
the Dynasty. Why would he be the third quarterback? Why would we go with Bryce Petty? I mean, why not take Grayson or something like that?
Because Grayson, who knows how long he plays. Mannion would have been one that I might have considered. I actually have Petty ranked higher.
I guess there's some upside.
Who, Petty? Not Mannion?
I would think Petty does this year.
Maybe. Training camp will tell.
He could be a Mettenberger type, where you don't really know what you have, but there's some you know, decent measurables.
I agree with that, Adam. I think Petty's the third best.
Okay.
I just don't know that I would have drafted him.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the Langford pick. I mean, if you're forecasting a year ahead for the Bears, who's going to be their running back? So that makes sense. Sammy Coates, Pittsburgh wide receiver, is 29th overall, and biggest hands in the draft, DeAndre Smelter, San Francisco wide receiver, 30th overall.
I don't know enough about Smelter. I didn't do a lot of research on him, but I do know that he's got like size 11 hands, and that's usually a good thing.
We skipped over Hardy, who could, you know, play the Harry Douglas role this year, and if you're looking again down the road in Atlanta, Roddy White's not going to be there very long. So that's a guy that could be with Matt Ryan for a long time.
And he's probably going to end up... Do you really think that Leonard Hankerson can work as the third receiver there?
You tell me, Mr. Hurricane.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say no.
You're not
going
to take him as a top 25
I wouldn't take
player.
He's not even in my top 200.
Dave tried to take him in the fourth round of our Dynasty draft.
Justin Hardy is a good pick. I think he might be a good slot guy for Arizona, for Atlanta.
Pittsburgh taking Sammy Coates, a wide receiver, in the third round. That one didn't really make sense to me. What role do you see Sammy Coates playing?
Third receiver. He's going to compete with Marcus Wheaton, which shouldn't be hard for him to beat him out.
If he can hold on to the football.
Okay.
That guy's got Jamie.
Frying pan hands.
DeAndre Smelter, by the way. If you want to know a little cool stuff about DeAndre Smelter, played baseball until his junior year of college. He only has 2 years of college football experience, and he's coming off a torn ACL. So I guess he's a bit of a project, but if they took him in the fourth round, which they've also done with Bruce Ellington and Quentin Patton, must mean that San Francisco saw something in DeAndre Smelter.
Which means that you're going to take him in a seasonal league.
Exactly.
And as soon as he has one big catch in the fourth quarter of the first preseason,
I got to tell you, that
DeAndre Smelter.
That DeAndre Smelter.
You know why
he's 6'2", 226. He's got the size you like.
You know why I like Quentin Patton. This is my 49ers fan friend told me, watch out for Quentin Patton.
Urbano?
Yeah. That was all I needed. Ready for emails?
That's right.
We didn't even make the Smelter joke, did we?
We once had a NFL executive tell us that Jacoby Jones was going to be the best receiver in Houston over Andre Johnson.
Careful, he's listening.
I didn't say his name.
I know.
Is it me? No. No, I never said that. So here's an email from Ben. And Ben is from?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Doug, Steve, and Trent.
Doug, Steve, Trent.
Super Bowl winning quarterbacks?
Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah.
My 20-team IDP Dynasty League allows 7 keepers plus 2 late-round tags. Tags are guys who are drafted in the last 2 rounds and can be kept at their originally drafted round every year as long as they aren't dropped or traded. I need some deep sleepers in my Dynasty League to fill my 2 tag spots. Who do you have? To give you an idea of how deep our league is, I picked 4th overall last year. I took Carlos Hyde. He started every game for me this past season.
Oh, wow.
So I guess we're going even deeper than this Dynasty draft.
Than what we've
draft.
Done already?
Yeah.
Smelter, that was like the first name.
Oh, Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett didn't get drafted.
He got drafted.
He did?
By Seattle.
No. By
you mean in our little draft?
Yeah, he should have gotten drafted.
In our rookie draft.
Well, probably.
In the first 30 picks, yes, he should have got drafted.
Yeah, so he's... Seattle wide receiver, 3rd round pick.
Uh-huh.
There's him.
Matt Jones.
Not bad, not bad.
Yeah.
Trey McBride, Tennessee. Chris Conley with Kansas City.
The kid from Cleveland, the receiver.
Vince Maley.
Yep.
Josh Robinson with the Colts is an interesting running back.
Chris Conley.
Pretty sure I just said that.
Did you?
I did.
Sorry.
Rashad Green of Jacksonville. Good quality player.
How about Justin Fowler? We haven't talked about him. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
What do you think about that?
The next email. Greg from some town in Massachusetts.
Boston.
Oh, we got our thinking caps on today. 12-team.
Well, my son is learning state capitals, so it's real easy for me now to think of cities.
Is that the state capital?
Massachusetts? You tell me, Adam.
I have forgotten almost every state capital.
You've forgotten everything you learned in high school?
No, I say I've forgotten maybe half.
Well, come on, let's test
them.
You out.
Half
state capital of New York.
Albany.
See, you haven't forgotten anything. How about Florida?
Come on, Tallahassee.
All right, how about Texas?
Austin.
Look at this. The guy's a regular genius. Yeah. Idaho.
I'm going to guess Boise.
Yeah, it's the only city in here. Either that or Pocatello. California.
That'd be Sacramento. You're giving me the easy ones. It's like the Dakotas I don't really know.
New Hampshire.
Ooh. Ooh. Tallahassee, New Hampshire? I have no idea.
That would be Concord.
Oh, and I never would have gotten that. Here's an email from Greg.
Does Greg from Boston from have Boston. A question, or are we just going to quiz you on capitals for the rest of the show?
12-team keeper league, we keep two. I thought I was set with C.J. Anderson in the sixth and Joik Bell in the seventh, but then the Lions drafted Amir Abdullah. Am I overreacting? Does Joik Bell maintain steady RB2 value, or does Abdullah run circles around him and steal the job?
I think you're still keeping Bell in round seven. That's good value. If we're talking round three, I would pass. If we're talking round four, it'd be a tougher decision. Anything after round four, I think, is great value for Joik Bell. But he's falling into that round four range for me by far.
Who are some running backs that you moved him under?
Hyde, Gordon.
Forsett?
Morris. I think I have him. They're back-to-back. I'm not sure. You could look if you want. Okay. But they're in the conversation. I may take Forsett over him. He's slipping.
You got Bell at 18, Forsett 17, Gordon 16, Hyde 15, there you go. Morris 14.
I like Bell. I think he's still good. But I mean, look, they drafted.
If he's banged up, then it changes everything.
They drafted a guy who's potentially more talented than him.
But if he's healthy and in there at the start of training camp, I don't have a problem with Joik Bell.
Next question. Here we go. Mike from Phoenix.
Is that the state capital of Arizona?
I don't think. I'm going to say yes. Dave's looking it up.
I think you're right, but I'm double checking.
10-team PPR league. I have an option to keep one player from last year, but I have to pick between Le'Veon Bell, Demaryius Thomas, and Jimmy Graham. It is a PPR league. Le'Veon Bell, 10-team league. Demaryius Thomas or Jimmy Graham?
If he's still suspended 3 games, I think it's still Le'Veon Bell. Demaryius Thomas though makes it interesting because in a PPR league, he's going to be a monster again. The one concern would be is,
can we keep?
Are you looking long term beyond this year?
Right,
because Demaryius may have Brock Osweiler as his quarterback. I wonder if Demaryius Thomas and even to extent Dez Bryant, when they're thinking about where they are right now and under their franchise tag, Dez probably gets Romo for another 2 or 3 years. Demaryius, however, does he take the big payday now, locking himself into the Brock Osweiler era? Or does he say, I'm going to just play the franchise tag, I'll play it out 1 year, and then I want to keep my options open in case Peyton is gone, and I can go sign with Blake Bortles, or follow my buddy Eric Decker to the Jets?
Depends on how badly they want to win. And I don't even know if they're thinking that far ahead.
Who?
These receivers.
Well, they
they're going to get paid no matter what.
Yeah,
like,
but
they're
you know,
have to really
the NFL clearly is about getting guaranteed money, and is the 1 year guaranteed situation better than $50 million guaranteed? Because they're looking at you know,
obviously not. You'd rather have $50 million,
right?
Guaranteed.
So,
but you could also get both, and that's what they're thinking.
Potentially, but you never know what happens. I mean, it's if Demaryius blows out his ACL in week 3,
won't get $50 million.
Nope.
Did we answer the question?
It's Le'Veon.
It's Le'Veon, especially if you can keep him for more than 1 year.
And did we find out about Phoenix?
It's the state capital. You were right.
All right. Next question is from, oh, no name or city here. Go.
I'll be happy to make that up for you, Adam.
No, I was wrong. Some Trevor from an Amish town of Dave's choice.
Are there any Amish capitals? There is. Let's go with St. Paul, Minnesota.
Billy, hey, Billy, Frank, and Colin.
Hey.
What's, oh, yeah, hi.
Kaepernick's.
I'll look that up. So,
another great Billy Kaepernick.
I need to choose three of the following. I get to keep them for one round earlier than they were drafted, with a minimum of a 10th pick lost. So from 11th on, I lose a 10th. I don't know what that means. PPR league with a few bonuses for longer touchdowns, but they don't tend to make that much of a difference. Here's the list and what I would lose. Pick three. Joyke Bell in the 9th, Julius Thomas in the 8th, Antonio Brown in the 1st, Michael Floyd in the 9th, Le'Veon Bell in the 7th, C.J. Anderson in the 10th, Latavius Murray in the 10th, and Kelvin Benjamin in the 10th. Okay, Bell in the 7th and Anderson in the 10th?
Yeah, Bell and Anderson are musts.
Then it comes down to Kelvin or Murray. And I think you're probably better off with Kelvin, given the fact that you have the two running backs.
And it's PPR.
Yeah, but he's not a good PPR option.
He could be.
I don't know what Billy... It could be the Departed.
Okay.
Trevor, or that was Trevor. This is Scott. Scott is from... Dave, Scott is from the capital of Utah.
Salt Lake City.
Dear Smokey, Frog, and the Bandit, I'm in a league where some of the players have considered banning Adrian Peterson, even if he plays, due to moral reasons. The league manager wants to make him ineligible, but less than half of the league seems to agree. The rest want to keep him in or don't have strong feelings either way. What is the best way for us to handle this?
Interesting question.
I would pose this to the rest of the league. Did you know Aaron Hernandez was a murderer before he was caught?
You drafted him at one point after he murdered somebody.
You
didn't know it at the time.
Right. I mean,
but he killed somebody.
There are things about these players that you will never know.
And you don't want it.
Much as social media is what it is, and people have cell phone cameras, and you can see pretty much everything at this point. The NFL is not, and as every sports league, as every walk of life is, not everybody is perfect. And so I think it's a great personal feeling that you have this thought that Adrian Peterson is a bad guy, and that's how you're entitled to feel. But forget about who he is, and you're drafting number 28, the running back for the Minnesota Vikings, and that's the way you should approach it. And if you don't want to take him, you don't have to take him. But don't punish the other people in your league who want to play a game that, unfortunately, based on your personal feelings, he's a part of. You just got to let it go. I mean, it is what it is. He's been punished for his situation, whether you feel it's just or not, but he's been punished. And he's entitled to earn his living the way that he does.
Don't punish the other players in the league who what?
What do you mean?
Jamie, you said don't punish the other players.
Well, you said half the league is split on how they want to do it.
Yeah, you said don't punish the other players who want to play. You know what? You kind of halfway quoted.
What the hell just happened?
You said they want to play a game, and it sounded a lot like Jeremy Irons in Die Hard 3, where he says, "I want to play a game with Officer McClane." So I was just...
I'm sorry I don't have that movie quoted off top of
my head. You should be sorry, but don't worry. One of us does, so I can always...
Yes.
All right, well, Jamie, let me give you the Die Hard 3 challenge. If you already know it, then you can stop me. Anyway, you've got a 3-gallon jug, empty 3-gallon jug of water, or 3-gallon water jug, and an empty 5-gallon water jug. And you have to get exactly 4 gallons of water in the 5-gallon jug. How do you do it?
You pour the 3-gallon one into the empty one and then 1 gallon from the other one into that one.
Yeah, but you have to be exact. You can't fill up the 3 with 1 gallon. How are you going to know if it's exact?
You pour 3 into one into the other, and then the one into the other one.
Wait, you pour 3 into what? You pour the 3 into the 5?
I thought there's an empty one.
There's two. They're both empty. And you got unlimited water. You have to get 4 gallons into the 5-gallon one. How do you do it?
I forget how it goes. How did it end up?
You take the there's two ways to do it. You take the 3, you pour it into the 5, you fill up the 3 again, you pour it into the 5, you're left with 1 in the 3. Now you dump out the 5. You take that 1 in the 3, and you pour it into the 5, and then you refill up the 3-gallon jug, you pour it into the 5, you get 4. Alternatively, You can fill up the 5-gallon jug, pour it into the 3, and then dump out the 3. Take the remaining 2 gallons. No, keep the headset on. I can see you. All right, fine. You know, I'm just going to end the show.
Huh?
I'm just going to end the show. Dave left. Bye,
okay,
everyone.
Did the thing with the toy drive?
What'd you say?
The toy drive?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jamie. We should have done that at the top of the show.
That's okay.
Yes, do it now.
So, I'm sure a lot of people who have been listening to this show for a long time may or may not remember. But anyway, my mom passed away in 2012. And by the way, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So she worked at the Mental Health Association of Southeast Florida, which is based, obviously, where we live in Florida. Anyway, she was part of the family services division. They're dealing with a lot of underprivileged children and families that are, you know, trying to get their kids back that have lost them for various reasons. In any event, the place where my mom worked, they have dedicated a room in her honor called the Roberta Eisenberg Playroom Observation Room. And it's where about 200 kids a year come through there, and they don't have, you know, a lot of good family situations, family structures. You know, you can probably imagine the situations all these kids are dealing with. So we're doing a toy drive to help with the room. If you're interested in that, you can, I don't know the best way to do this. You can send toy donations to our address here in Florida, which is 1401 West Cypress Creek Road, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33309 is the
address.
Why not
just send it right to the
Because I need to do it. I don't want to.
Okay.
You can send it to our office here. Obviously, you can reach me on Twitter. If you have any way you want to donate, I can, you know, communicate with you that way, which is at Jamie Eisenberg. I'm sure everybody knows that already. And if you know our email address, you can email that way. Just put Toy Drive in the subject line, and I'll be happy to correspond with you that way. And anything that you can give, new or gently used, it's for kids, newborns up until 12 years old. We would greatly appreciate it. So, thank you for listening, and thank you for any future donations.
And I'm sorry, Jamie. I should have had you mention that at the top of the show.
But no, it's okay.
I'm glad we got it in, and we'll say it. We'll mention it again next week, a little earlier.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week. For Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Acer. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye.